With you, we'd ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 9, and while you're turning there to read with us, don't forget to pray for Brother Hilly and his family. Things seem like they're going in the right direction now, but that's still very touch and go. Joshua chapter 9, beginning in the very first verse. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusites heard thereof. And they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai. They did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. The old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country. Thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, and to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore make ye a league with us. This our bread we took not of our provision out of our houses on the day that we came forth unto you, but now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And the bottles of wine which we filled were new, and now, behold, they be rent. And these garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them." I'd like to preach tonight, the Lord being my helper, on the cost of compromise. Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this blessed old book. Lord, we pray for each and every person that is here tonight. God, open our hearts to your word again. Convict us of sin. Show us what we stand most in need of. Lord, we pray for the lost tonight, that today that you might speak eternal life unto them. And we'd be faithful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Now, if ever there has been a day in 2023, we live in a day of compromise. A compromise is never a good thing. And usually a compromise, all it really does is put off the inevitable. Now, I'm on your turf right now, so I have to be careful how I say this, but does anybody ever hear of Clay's Compromise or the Compromise of 1850? My redneck southern buddy shaking his head. That's where we made a compact as the North and the South to prevent the Civil War the first time. And the agreement was this, that slavery would go no further west if Missouri, I think it was Missouri, could enter in as a slave state. And that was the compromise that occurred. Now, we know that it did not work. It put salve on it for just a short time, and that's it. Now, we live in a day of compromise. We live in a day where seemingly there are no absolutes left. You know what? Newsflash for you. This is an absolute. It does not change. It has always been the same. It is what God's people should cling to, and there's no changing in it. And compromise costs way more than it gives. And so we see some fairly familiar verses of Scripture just to kind of update you where they're at in their journey. You all know that the children of Israel went down by the hand of Almighty God to be preserved in Egypt for a time. Now, some of you more on a better history line than me in the history of Israel, but I think they went back there in about the second year of a 7-year drought, which gave them roughly 5 years to remain. Now, how long did they stay? 400 years. You know why? Because of compromise. Now, you think about it, the land of Goshen was nice. It had plentiful fields. It was well irrigated. It was a wonderful place to be. And they stayed, and they stayed, and they stayed. Just because something's comfortable don't mean that you need to stay there. Don't equate comfort with the will of God. Often, quite the opposite is true. And so we see that after that was, and you know the rest of the story, there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not, Joseph, and they got into a really big mess. And at the very end of it, they're in horrible bondage. And then by the hand of Almighty God, they're delivered under the direction of Moses. And then again, because of rebellion, because they hated and despised dominion, they couldn't stand Moses' leadership. And because of that, they took a 2-week journey. It took them 40 years to do it. And then when they finally get on the other side of Jordan and they've arrived there, they obey God and the Lord God Almighty brings down the walls of Jericho, gives them a great victory in that place and in that time. And then, once again, they violate the command of God. They looked up at Ai. It's about like Dover. Ai is just a little one. You know what? Don't ever look at the opposition as little. Ken Glish preached a good sermon on that. Don't look at the opposition as something that can't approach you. And so you know the story. They went in and Ai smashed them the first time around, had dead Israelites, and finally they got the idea that God's plan had to be followed. Now, this is the part that, you know, may not be so tasteful for us Baptists here in the years which we live. What was the command of God? You kill every one of them, men, women, and children. Man, that's a harsh command, isn't it? You know, there ain't no baby that's not, to me, ain't no baby that's not a wonderful. You know, when living in the South, you have to say certain things a certain way. And Mama, we was looking at a baby of a friend of ours. I was probably 6 or 7, maybe not even that big. And I mean, thought, this is the ugliest baby I've ever looked at. Mama was behind me and she goes, ain't she sweet, Larry? And she was hitting my back. And so I learned then, no matter what a baby looks like, you can say they're sweet. And I said, yeah, that's a sweet baby. But could you imagine taking the life of a baby? That was God's command. Do I understand it? Absolutely not. But I do know that it was God's command. And so they were approaching this place with very much a uniform plan to annihilate everybody that was there and to possess the land. Now, it does teach you this, though, that God's plan does not have to make sense for you to follow it. Because, you know, sometimes it won't. This is not written in the cognizance of man. It's the very Word of God. And so they were to annihilate everyone, kill everybody on the place, destroy it, and possess the land. Now, we know they did not do that. Even the largest Israel ever wasn't but about a tenth of what they were supposed to have. They sound like good Baptist people to me. Never successful as they should be. Never being as strong as we ought to be. You know, don't you get sick in the day which we live? Well, it's the last days and people aren't like they used to be. No. You know what? We should be just as strong as the first century church. Amen. Do we not serve the very same living God as they did then? But because of compromise after compromise after compromise, here we are in 2023 not really doing anything. And so with that thought in mind, I want to look at a couple of things from our text. And in verse 9, they began to go over and those five people types, and they're going into their land and they're to destroy the people and possess everything that was there. Now, in verse 4, speaking of the people at Gibeon and Ai, they did work wildly. Now, that means they put thought into it. That means they talked about it. That means they considered an approach that would work. You know what the devil is doing to you today? He's considering an approach that will work for you. Because every one of us are made a little bit different. We all have our own little quirks. And listen, he's been doing this for at least 6,000 years. He's way ahead of you. And so we see that here they said, what can we do? They wanted to be preserved. They were part of the number that were going to be destroyed. They were supposed to go down. How can we get out of it? You know what? Mankind's still trying to get out of God's judgment on his own way today. Anything but Christ. We just want to be out of his judgment. And so we see that hasn't really hasn't really changed much since then. And so what did they do? Verse 4, and they did work wildly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. In other words, not from that place. And took out old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent, and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet. Now, I want you to see that their goal was to present as pilgrims, as people that did not belong there, as people that weren't really a resident in that place. Now, with that said, and you can take this home as extra bait, their clothes had something to do with it. Amen or oh me? How are you going to find the bathroom if you can't speak English? Right? I know which one to go. You know what? When I was in the Ukraine with Brother Long, we knew which bathroom to go, didn't we? And you know how?
The picture.
Right? And so we find here they were trying to come off as another nation by wearing the other nation's clothes. They wanted the clothes to look old, so they made them dirty. See, this says something about me, right? And so we find then, as they're pulling off this scheme, they dressed the part. They wanted to look like they were really these people that were wandering from afar. Verse 6, and they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore, make ye a league with us. You be very cautious who you enter a league with. You know what? We don't need a bunch of Masons and enter in that stinking league. And that's exactly what it is. That's agreeing to things that you say you don't believe. Right? And so going into this, their invitation was, we want to set up a league with you. We want to be your slaves. Now, you think about that, and it just doesn't make sense. You ever know anybody like, man, I'd really like to be a slave? No. But you know what? They didn't even question it. People are not who they present to be. You know, I wish we lived in an area, in a time where people would look at you and tell you the honest truth. But you know what? The best I know, that's never been the situation. Depravity has always put deceit in the hearts of men, and it still does today. And so these people that didn't even know the God of the Bible to protect their own stinking flesh wants to enter into a league with God's people? We need to be aware of stuff like this, don't you think? We need to be knowledgeable as it's coming to pass. Then they question them. You know what? When someone comes to New Testament church, the best thing that I can do is that pastor is question them. I'm not trying to ridicule them, but I need to know where they've been and what their plans are. Right? We don't find Joshua doing this. Joshua compromised. You know what compromise is always about? Trying to please someone else. Right? You want to please. And remember this. No matter what you get out of the compromise, you're giving up something too. You'll give something up too. And so we find that these deceivers present themselves like this and give this false story that they're not even from that area. But they were. You ever had anybody lie to you to say where they're from? There was a sign maker back home. I can't even remember where he's from. I want to say he's from Iowa, one of those big square states out there. And I went to church with him. He'd been to every church in our little community back home, and he finally ended up at that church, and I use that word loosely. And he talked with a brogue. And he tried to tell my papaw that he was from Tennessee, and my papaw laughed at him. And you know why? You could tell where he came from. And it didn't take a whole lot of inquest. And if you look at people, it don't take a whole lot of inquest to know what they're up to and what they're doing. Joshua made a huge, huge mistake. He neglected looking into these people, and it was for an ultimate downfall further down the road. They bring their possessions and they lay them out. Say, look here, we got moldy bread. We've been on the road a long time. Well, you know, I don't know. We're more moist than y'all are down here. Y'all usually don't have this kind of rain. This is par for the course for Tennessee. And I live between two rivers. And bread will mold real quick at home. Sister Linda knows her bread molds as quick as mine. That really don't mean a whole lot, does it? What are you looking for proof? If you don't, I would easily say at home, bread will mold within 10 days if somebody doesn't eat it. So they don't really mean a whole lot. What are they looking for? When you're looking at somebody trying to tell you something, where are you going to get the veracity, the truth out of that? Moldy bread? Really? That's your spiritual question? And so we find that Joshua did not go there. He did not look at what was going on. And ultimately it came to a great compromise. In verse 13 he says, he continues about how the bottles looked worn. Well, you can get a wore out bottle by walking down the road. And the men took of their victuals. Verse 14. I have that starred in my Bible. And the men took of their victuals. Now, that's like the Baptist taking the Methodist food, right? But it is food, right? They looked at it and said, listen, take us in. We've got food. I'm going to be a slave for you. Just take us in. And then the verse 14 says, but they did not seek counsel of the Lord. You know what that is? That's compromise. Now, I don't want to be mean to anyone, do you? I mean, it's just, if you're saved, it's almost against nature. But the law said they should die. And Joshua said, we'll compromise. I'm like, well, man, Joshua, let him live. That was very nice of Joshua. That was really good of Joshua. No, it was a violation of the Word of God. And they paid for it the rest of their lives. See, what compromise will do, it will smooth things over for a little while, but you'll pay for it down the road. The other day, we was at a homeschool thing. Bella's in a homeschool group, and they meet 8 times a semester, and then they're done for, the year. And I was sitting in a church, and I was sitting in front of Bella, and she ran a little baby, about 2-year-old, about like this little one here, ran past me, and then Bella was running behind her, and I got up and ran behind them because I was like, "What is she doing?" And got back there and. She said, Daddy, I was just trying to get this little girl. I said, well, that little girl ain't your responsibility. And then I said, and then I found out the real deal. Her friend was back there. We're going to the basement. I said, no, we're going to the sanctuary. And she started out, and I give her a little whack on the bottom to speed up her step a little bit. And I thought, you know what? I'm not among friends. I don't know what's going on here. And I looked around, and I thought, you know, that's the day that we live in. But you know what Bella needed? She needed her bottom swapped, and she got it. It'd been a whole lot of a lot easier, say, Bella going down to the basement. You see what I'm saying? That's a day of compromise. You know what? Don't compromise the Word of God. Preaching men, pastors, go with the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, no compromise. Now, I'll give you an example, and we're going to look at a biblical example, but I'm going to give you an example back home. Those of you that have traveled down to Tennessee and seen New Testament Baptist Church and visited with us there, y'all know, over on the next 2 blocks over is First Baptist Church, Dover, Tennessee. And believe me, when I say First Baptist, I'm using that very, very loosely. That boy there now, I guess Ken knows him better than I do, knows some good things. But see, to be in the association, you have to send at least a fourth of your money to them. Now, when I go pay my light bill, you know what? I want to know that it went to my light bill, don't you? I didn't send it down there to pay for anybody else's light bill. So, when you're in an associational work, how do you know where your money's going? You know what? You're going to be held accountable for it, right? Are they telling you are they telling their missionaries the doctrines of grace and thus saith the Lord? And you can only be saved if Christ intervenes? Or are they saying, and you repeat this, honey? What are they doing? See, that's a day of compromise, right? That's the day that we live. We live in a day of compromise. And so we find, as you know, the history of Israel all down through the ages, this came back time and time and time again. And then finally they ceased to exist until 1948. Now, we're going to bring that in. And, you know, I've seen compromise in my lifetime. I'm 55 years old now. When I was a boy, and they, you know, even give the devil his due. First of all, don't compromise on the doctrine of election and predestination and thus saith the Lord to get this building full. That should be the least of your concern. You know what? This old building will take care of itself, and if it gets too big, go meet in the basement. I mean, there's always options, right? And it's not pleasant thinking, but there's always options, right? But I see y'all had Jack Hiles up north up here, and we had Tennessee Baptist Temple at Chattanooga. And you know what they compromised? What salvation was. And man, they had people everywhere. There was a Tennessee Baptist Temple just south of where I grew up as a boy. And you know what? They were building buildings and schools. And it looked so good. But they compromised. And what they had really in their churches was a bunch of lost people. You know, there's nothing but crickets in that place now. They compromised. They compromised on truth. I was going to tell you about First Baptist there at Dover. It was organized in 1929, I think, or 1930, out of First Baptist Church, Martin, Tennessee, which is about 70 miles further west of Dover. And you know what? I've looked at the organization. Philadelphia Confession of Faith. Good stuff. I think this should be our Confession of Faith right here. I'm not interested in those, but if that's what you do, that's your business. But you know what? The Philadelphia Confession of Faith is right down all 5 points. Now in this day, listen, they would have no issue at all taking a 3-year-old and running them through some little something of a prayer and calling them saved. How did they get there? Compromise. How did they approach that? They got there by compromise. Another good thing I'll say about that Tennessee Baptist Temple Church that was down there close to home, and shame on us because we're not, you know what, you could pick out one of them men and one of them women out of a room when you went down to the store because you could see how she was dressed and see that they were modest, and you know what, they looked like we should be. Where did that go? It's gone in our churches because of compromise. Oh, I'm so afraid we can't hold them if I preach on women wearing dresses. Well, you know what? Let them go. The Bible calls us to come out from among them and be separate. That our women would wear what's the pertaining to women professing godliness. It's very, very... When did we give that up? I'll even go a little further. Why did we give that up? Now we're horrified in 2027 because, you know, queers are wanting to go down to the public schoolhouse and wear dresses in and read them stories. Where did we think this was going to go? For 1940s, 1945, 1943, the defense movement here in our own country, Rosie the Riveter went and she put on man's clothing and produced trucks and cars and jeeps for the fight overseas. But this is the problem. Rosie never went home and she never took her britches off again. Amen or oh me. So that's where compromise gets you. It gives you an ineffective gospel. It gives you a life where there's no zeal unto Christ anymore. It gives you a lot of lost people on church benches. What are we going to do about that? When does the compromise stop? Now, I'll give you this to think about, and then we're going to read something else in the Scriptures. How many of the churches here, and I'm guessing we probably have at least 8 or 9 churches represented here, how many of y'all have a tax ID number? I'll get your hands up. Y'all know you do. Right? How many has an employee tax number? To have a pastor, you have to have one. All right, so what do you think they're going to do with that? You think they did that to pat you on the back and give you a tax-exempt status? No. They're tracking you. They know exactly what's going on with your bank account. Well, Brother Larry, what does that matter? It'll matter when they start telling you what to preach. Right? Where have we compromised? You know what? And I'm including myself in this. Listen, New Testament took one to build our building. That saved us about 10% on building that old building down there. And we took one. We didn't have one for the first 5 years we existed. If you think I'm being dumb, when we finally opened a bank account, we had about $12,000 or $15,000, something like that. It was literally in my brother. Y'all all know Christopher, Donna's baby brother. It was in his house. That's just where he kept it. He literally had the bag. I teased him and called him Judas. But now, if we went and started a bank account with that much money today, you know what they're going to do? Where did this come from? How did you get this? So do you think it's any surprise in the day which we live? See, where that will go further is tracking what you preach. And if you don't preach something soft, preach to us something smooth. Give us smooth sayings. You lose your tax exempt number. Then you'll lose your building. And so we live in a day and age where compromise no longer works. Compromise has done us nothing. Compromise. You know what? All y'all been to New Testament before, most of you have. Little building down there, and we have probably 15 people coming now, and I'd say 10 members. Is that much for 25 years of ministry? If I got 15 pulling to serve the Lord, that's plenty for me. When did we start keeping numbers? You know, sometimes your kids can punch you in the gut, man, and you're like, wow. Now, my oldest one, Adam, when we started the work there at Dover, Adam was 10. He's 33 now. And we'd gotten some stuff from another group, and it had a little board on it, you know, where you put your numbers and how many came to Sunday school and all this stuff. And one day Adam goes, Dad, why do you do that? And it made me think, why do I do that? I got to where I called them brag boards. You know what? Where is that in the gospel? You see what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with them. But I think we need to really think, what are we doing? Are we preaching the gospel? Are we preaching that we are to be a people that the Bible says is peculiar or strange or different? Are we preaching that in 2023? And I dare to say that we're not probably doing as effective job as we ought to be doing. And so we see compromise also comes little by little by little. The devil is far too wise to go boom and shut your doors down. Yeah, I don't know if y'all had it up here, up north, but we had a huge thing down south with the Methodists and all this thing with the sodomite marriage. Did that leak up in this direction? And Dover or Stewart County, not just Dover, Stewart County has about 9 or 10 Methodist churches. Nine of them left, no, they have 12. Nine left their conference or association, whatever label they put on it. And they dropped the name Methodist. That's the day which we live. See, we're going to have to make some decisions. Do you think so? A quick decision is never a good decision. Did you know that? This brother here, I'm not saying because he said, this is probably one of the best decision makers I know. And the reason why, he won't tell you in 2 days. He'll say, Larry, let me pray about it. That's a smart man. But we need to pray now before that time comes, don't you? What are we going to do at that point? Where does the compromise stop? How adherent are we to the Word of God? Are we to look like the world? Are we to act like the world? Certainly I would hope that you would say no, but yet and still when you begin to look around, do we look any different from the world? My great-grandmother, she was born in 1882 there in Stewart County. She died in 73. I remember her just a little bit. Never saw a woman. She never wore a pair of breeches in her entirety of her life. Now, her daughter, my grandmother, she started wearing breeches when she was in her 50s. Do you see how that time change has something to... It's a time of compromise. It's a time where people began to agree to things that one time... No, the Bible doesn't teach that. It's like the brother that was preaching regarding the sacraments. You know what? That word's not even in the Bible. Right? You know where it is? It's in all Catholic teachings. Where did we begin to embrace that? It's compromise. It's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's supper. It is not a sacrament. When did we begin to compromise on that? Where is your church at today? Where is West Milton Baptist Church? Where is New Testament Baptist Church at Dover? Where is the church at Paris? Where are we at in this day of compromise? Because there is a price to pay. It'll go good for a little while, but there is a price to pay. Everybody knows I'm a registered nurse. When my sister was diagnosed with cancer, Judy was a nurse too. She asked if I would go with her. She knew Mom couldn't handle it, and her husband was dead. I said, yeah, Judy, I'll go with you. And we got there, and he laid everything out in front of us. And both of us being nurses, we just looked at it. And I finally got myself together enough, and I looked at the oncologist, and I said, how long does she have? And he said, with no treatment, about a year. She lived 11 months. Now, what wisdom would it have been for me to look at that and say, you know what, this looks pretty good. Yeah, I think we're going to be all right. But is that not what we do today? Our churches are in rough shape. We might as well look at the bill of report and go with it. If it comes from God, you know what, it's accurate. How do we get to the point where compromise seems better than going with the truth? Now go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We've been hitting all around these Asia Minor church letters, so we're going to look at the church at Laodicea, everybody's favorite. You know, back home you have all these biblically named churches, but I've not run across one named Laodicea Baptist Church yet. We got a Corinth back home, and I was like, well, at least she's honest, right? But you never hear one with this name here. Revelation 3, verse 14, the Bible says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right. Now, let me say this, and you can Google it or do your word search on your Bible app or however you do it. Laodicea is mentioned before, and it was a true place, and Paul did go through there. So this was the result of that work at some point. And there was a New Testament Baptist church there. Apparently they loved the things of God. But this is years later. Some suggest Paul may have been, John had been in his 90s when he wrote these things. And he was just a 15-year-old boy when the Lord was on the face of the earth. And so some, as many say, 75 to 80 years later, he's writing to the church. Now, New Testament Baptist at Dover was organized on July the 9th, 2000. We are in almost 23 years of existence. What's changed? If this was 80 years after the ministry of Paul, what had changed? Something horribly had changed. How did it occur? How did they go from one of the Lord's church that loves the Word of God, loves the truth of the Word of God, love God people, to this? Now we'll see. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen. Hard to say amen to some things, isn't it? You know what amen means? I agree. Amen? Saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Now, let me say, first of all, he didn't say there were no works. He just said, I know about the ones you do have. Now, I see churches today almost doing, or literally doing nothing, existing. Just there. And so as the Lord is speaking to this church, he reminds us to all, they know, the Lord knows what we're doing. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that they were, that thou were cold or hot. And all the years it's passed since the Lord Jesus Christ, all the years it's passed since 2000, a New Testament Baptist church was originally organized. Where are we at today? Are we cold or hot? We need to know that about our churches, preaching men, pastors, you listen to me. What about your church? Where you're at, where you're preaching. And this is the one that ought to get us, where you're responsible. I fully believe I'll give a special accounting over the churches I've pastored. You're responsible. So in comparison from 80 years or 23 years or whatever you want to throw in that, how is your works going? What is your church doing? Are they going to the nursing home? Are they going street preaching? Are they being faithful to the end? What are you doing for the cause of Jesus Christ? He said, I wish you were cold or hot. Now, I believe, if I understand the church, the makings of the church, it's likened unto the body by the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It talks about our eyes and our arms and puts it, said fitly joined together. Right. And so you got one, it's real, real hot. I'm kind of hot. Most of you know, I don't typically wear a coat when I preach. I'm kind of hot. Now, some of y'all, I know it's been a long day. You may be getting a little cold, right? Kind of sleepy with these nice fans running. Getting cold. So I don't think everybody in the church was in bad shape. But I believe some were. Some were hot. Some were cold. And the result, you're lukewarm. I will spew thee out of my mouth. You make me sick to my stomach. It's pretty bold words from an almighty God to one of his churches, isn't it? Very, very, very tragic. Very, very captivating news. Probably the hot ones should have left a long time ago. You know, that's some of the most difficult thing you will ever do. And I remember very vividly having to leave Bumpus Mills Baptist Church because of what was going on. But you know what? It was for my betterment. And it was for my... I had my children to think about. Right? Sometimes it's hard to leave. Our family ties sometimes hold us where they shouldn't. I know thy word. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Now, the first thing, the second era with the Laodicean church was measuring their spiritual success by their financial means. That never works. Next time y'all come to Dover, I'll show you. First Baptist Dover, probably it has an assembly larger than this one. I'm sure it probably seats 300 people. Has an entire wing for Sunday school, has a wing over here for Sunday school, and a full basement for both those wings where I'm assuming they get to eat. Y'all been to New Testament? We have a basement and an upstairs. Who do you think the world would judge as most successful? I think they'd go with First Babs, don't you? Nice brick, red brick building. They got a really fancy door. Their door probably costs as much as New Testament's building. Right? But where does God measure that? How close are we to the biblical example? You know what? If I understand the Word of God like I think I do, buildings were a rarity, period. They met house to house. Only group I know doing that these days is Old Order Amish. Right? What about us? How successful do you feel your church is? And if you don't feel like it's being successful, you know what? You need to get somewhere where you can feel that you're being effective. And the church is hot and on fire because, listen, there's not much time left. I've heard that all my life, haven't you? I'll be 55 in December. I've literally heard of the coming of Christ as long as I can remember. You say, well, see, I told you it wasn't true. No, that just makes me speed up a little bit more because, I'm 52 years closer, right? I've got to do more. I've been convinced of the Lord God Almighty that that's exactly what's going to happen. And it should push us a little harder and a little further. And so Laodicea had lots of zeros in the bank account. They were on the right side of the decimal, so they were in good shape. And they somehow begin equating spiritual success with money. And there's nowhere in the Word of God where that happens. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and had need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now I'm going to hit on a couple of these and we're going to be done. First of all, he said, don't you even know you're miserable? You ever been miserable with some kind of sin in your life? Y'all don't look at me like deer in headlights. Right? We've all been there. Something that just seems to keep going again and again and again. Thank God that it bothers you. Thank God that He makes you miserable. Because see, Laodicea was past being miserable. You know what? If you ignore something long enough, it will go away. Now, it'll get you later, but you can ignore it for a while. You can say, no, that's not the way it is. And they were fine with it. You know what was keeping them going? They had plenty of money. That God has to be with us because we've got lots of money to show for it. That wasn't the case. He says, you don't know that you're poor. What were they poor in? We already established that they had money. They were poor in spiritual things. Very poor in spiritual things. How rich are you? After 35 years of marriage, me and Donna have 16 hilly acres. And if you know Stewart County, that's it's definitely Stewart County land. And a 97 double wide. We're rich. You know what? How many fruits of the Spirit do you have? How many of those do you possess? Those aren't just given out like you're handing, feeding your chickens. Love? Who do you love? Who do you show that compassion to? Love? Joy? Listen, I get to travel around and preach quite a bit. You know the missing component in 2027? It's joy. People are not happy. People are dreading. And like the brother said, just getting too much of Fox News or CNN or something. Boo-hoo. Listen, that doesn't regard us. We're pilgrims and strangers. We're not in this place. Amen. We need to be ready to go. How many fruits of the Spirit do you have? Apparently they didn't have any. Through the prophet John, the Lord God said that they were poor. They were skid row. They had nothing. Said, you're blind. And you don't even know it. Blind. You ever look at yourself in the mirror? Unfortunately, I had to shave today. And you say, well, you didn't do a very good job. I'm not talking about my beard. I'm talking about right here. Mirror don't lie, does it? You look in there and you're like, oh yeah, I'm definitely almost 55. All right? But what about when you ignore the way you look? Now, most of you are just like me. You can't help by the way you look. Genetics is genetics, right? But you can wipe your face. I think that's what the Bible says. And if you go away and leaves it there, what has it profited him? Nothing. He says, do you know how you're at? Do you know the church wherever you are a member? Do you know how it is? Do you know how you are? And apparently, the Laodiceans did not. Last thing, naked. Naked. Now, I believe there are spiritual applications and literal applications. First of all, we are to be a modest dressed people, men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. You know what? I was talking to some of the brethren when I got into a good sound church that actually taught some things. I didn't have an issue having this mess of hair cut off me. You know why? Because I knew the Bible said it was a shame. A shame for a man to have long hair. You know what? I had to think equally. It'd be a shame for a woman to have hers butched off. You don't hear much about that, do you? Oh, me. Well, boys, don't let me out here by myself. All right. Naked. We're fixing to get into the hot season down home. There's no excuse for any of us to be putting on a pair of short breeches and running around like a worldling. I've done it both ways. You know what I've found? I'm not either hotter or less cool either way. Tennessee's just a hot state to live in, right? Buck up and bear it. No reason to run around. Yeah, you know, what me and brother was talking about plaid coming back in, you know. These were cool in the 70s, by the way. And Brother Dan said, well, if you keep something long enough, it'll always come back in the style. And I said, I know that, but I can't wear the stuff that I wore in the 70s. There's about three more of me besides what I was in the 70s. So you know what that tells me? Your little halter tops are about to come back in. Amen or oh me? Which one are we going to do? I want a hot fire church. So you know what? We're not going to do that. The days of compromise need to be done. Brother.